no
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Our hour of old-time radio drama begins with High Adventure this week. We'll hear Madness in the Air from January 11th, 1973. That's followed by two episodes of Federal Agent. We'll hear Spy Plane Crashes, and then A Killing in London. Both of those episodes aired sometime in 1947.
Tonight we tell the story Madness in the Air by Alan Templin.
Ladies, now you can dress in high fashion at unbelievably low cost. Thousands of South African women acclaim Janome sewing machines, which not only simplify dressmaking, but give your work a real professional touch. Janome is a quality-built sewing machine which tacks, hems, smocks, darns, and does all kinds of fancy or plain stitching perfectly. What's more, Janome comes in a full range of models, and every machine carries a lifetime guarantee. You can do so much more with a Janome.
Every General R280 radial has 364 little safety studs between its treads. The studs are there to brace and stabilize the treads and help stop them fidget under stress. And the fact that we've reduced the fidget in our treads explains why the General R280 brakes so well, corners so well, and has the longest possible life. General R280 radials, the long-living tires.
There is madness in the air of Egypt when the Khamsin blows. Khamsin. It is the Arabic word that means 50. Some say that the wind is called 50 because it blows for 50 days. It does not. It blows as long as I need it to blow. And that may be only a minute or less. Some say the wind, my servant, is called 50 because it is a gale of 50 miles an hour. That is not true either. It may blow harder. It may blow a little less hard than 50 miles an hour. That is of no importance. It will blow hard enough. My servant, the wind, the great and deadly Khamsin. I believe it is right to call that mighty power the Khamsin, the 50. For my great wealth has come from the Khamsin. And when I have the wealth of 50 dead men, I will release my servant from its slavery to me. No longer will the voice of the Khamsin call rich men to judgment in this way.
Good morning, Abbott Bay. It was good of you to give me this appointment.
Not at all, Mr. Travers. You have come half across the world to consult me. I will be happy to assist you in any way. I believe you are in some difficulty.
Yeah, that's right. It certainly is some difficulty, Abbott Bay. I know you Arabs like to talk all around the subject before you...
Now, let me come to the point. You are in difficulties to $2 million, is that not so?
Hey, you do come to the point, don't you? Well, the fact is that...
The sum is a trifling one, I believe.
You can lend me that much? Just out of hand?
Mr. Travers, you were recommended to me by the chairman of an American company manufacturing the components of the electrical appliances you distribute. Is that correct?
Yeah. Old Dave Grassi. You certainly put his firm back on its feet.
I trust you are not yourself the head of your company. This is important. If you are, I cannot easily advise you.
No, sir. Mr. Crosley made that same point. The chairman of our board is...
I am not concerned with his name. I am only concerned that he should come to visit me here at Alexandria at the date which I shall give you.
Now, hold on here. Dave never said I had to order my boss about. I'm not at all sure the old man would
Mr. Travers, when you call on a business consultant, you do not reject his recommendations, assuming you are in desperate difficulties. I do not merely ask whether you can get your chairman to call on me. I only tell you that this is what you must do. Is that understood?
Now, see here. I'm not accustomed to being spoken to in that way. I mean, after
Neither
all...
Neither are you accustomed to being $2 million in trouble or getting rescued from such trouble. You will do as I say, or I will do nothing.
It's good to see you again. May I present Mr. Harley, our chairman?
How do you do, Mr. Bay?
Mr. Travers, good to see you again. Mr. Harley, I'm delighted to make your acquaintance. It was good of you to comply with my request so promptly.
Oh, Travers here was most insistent. Plain was now or never. Matter of life and death, from what he said.
Harley, you know the trouble the company's in as well as anyone does.
Quite so, gentlemen. And you have brought the necessary documents?
Travers has them. But before we complete them, do you mind if I ask a few questions?
Of course, you wish some ideas of how your company can be rescued.
That's right.
And this is only natural. Well, Mr. Harley, I take it that you have made out a power of attorney to Mr. Travers.
Yes, I have. It's here in my pocket. As soon as I know what it's for, I'll decide whether to hand it over.
Quite right. Secondly, please disclose to me the details of your insurance policy.
Travers, you have the policies there.
Oh, yes, sir. There's a 70,000 policy on...
If I may interrupt, just the total, thank you.
Well, if Mr. Harley dies accidentally this year...
Yes, that is the point of the discussion.
Then just over $2 million goes to the company in respect of policies on his life. Policies covering the firm against loss of his services.
Now, there's no need to go into the depressing details, Sam. Mr. Bay is no doubt familiar with the standard policies for a company chairman. What I want to know is, how is all this information relevant?
All in good time, Mr. Harley. At this point, there is the matter of my fee as a consultant.
Travers?
Yeah. 100,000 gold sovereigns deposited with the Bank of Indochina in Paris. To your account, Abbas Bay.
And evocable by me within one calendar month from today. That was the agreement, I believe.
Entirely satisfactory. And now you will wish to know exactly how I propose to save your company from ruin, Mr. Harley. Mr. Travers.
I didn't come all this way to play games. That's for sure.
Quite so. Well, the facts are quite simple, sir. You, Mr. Harley, will remain in this apartment until the Khamseen begins. You have heard of the Khamseen. It is the terrible legendary wind of the East. Some say that it brings death. I find the saying is true. Should you wish to refuse to cooperate with this wind of death, Mr. Harley, you will find that Mr. Travers will force you to do so. He and I... And the Khamseen can indeed save your company from destruction, but only at the price of your own life.
Look here, Miss Hemingway. I believe there's been some mistake here.
No mistake, Mr. Travers. I realize that when you called the FBI, you didn't expect a woman operative to be sent here. But I don't happen to be with the FBI. They suggest that this was an overseas matter. The Bureau doesn't operate outside the continental U.S.
Oh, I see. Then you're with the CIA, in fact.
Let's say the Bureau will confirm my credentials if you check with them.
Now, look, I'm not at all sure I want to go on with this in that case.
Mr. Travers, you have no alternative. It's quite clear that some crime has been committed and that you can give us a lead. If you withdraw your cooperation now, I am authorized to hold you as a material witness.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'll go along with it.
Because you fear for your life?
I wouldn't go so far as to say that I fear for my life.
Oh, let's not beat about the bush, Mr. Travis. Perhaps I can make things easier by outlining some of the information we already have.
I'm aware of what I reported.
Yeah, but you don't know was the only one part of a very strange jigsaw. For example, your friend Mr. Crossley and an aircraft company head in California, two oil company chairmen in Oklahoma, a television network chief.
What have they got to do with my inquiry?
Everything, Mr. Travis. No fewer than six new chairmen of important American companies have made a similar inquiry over the past 4 years.
I had no idea.
That's right. They all wanted to know what you asked. They wanted to know if they could be prevented from entering Egypt. Now, what an extraordinary request to make. Usually, the FBI is asked to clear people so that they can go from one country to another.
Six of them, you say?
Seven, counting you.
And what's the ruling?
Frankly, the authorities are baffled. I'm baffled myself. Why would anyone want to make sure he never entered Egypt? There seems no likelihood that any of these men would ever want to go to the country. They have no business interest there. It's not even a convenient place for a holiday. Mr. Travers, I'm counting on you to tell me why these important businessmen might go to Egypt, and why on earth they should get in touch with the FBI and ask to be prevented from going there.
You might not believe it now, Miss Hemingway, but there was a time when these beaches of Alexandria were crowded with visitors like yourself from all over the world. That is why I was so pleased when you arrived here. If your travel agency and my beachfront hotels can get together...
Oh, I'm pretty sure we can work something out.
I do profoundly hope so. My father and his father before him, they were rich men, Miss Hemingway. The family hotels absolutely dominated the Alexandria holiday season. Millionaires from all over the cold gray countries used to flock here in their hundreds every year.
I know. Some of the records of my tourist agency go back a century. I came across them accidentally, as I told you, and I was knocked out to realize what a fortune we could make if only...
If only this beautiful, historic city, which I love dearly, were once again popular seaside resort that it used to be.
Abbasay, what do you call this part of the beach?
It is called El Mout. Not a good name to publicize for tourism.
Well, that's what I had in mind. Colorful local names always go down very well.
I'm afraid. Well, you see, there is something of a cliff here. It seems that it is easy to lose one's footing and fall on the rocks below. El Maut, that is Arabic for death, Miss Hemingway. The place of death, you see.
Oh, so that's one local name I should forget about. Say, isn't it around here that American businessman was found dead just a few months ago?
You are right to say some things should be forgotten. Hey, let us move on.
Now, what was his name? Harley. That's it. Irvin Harley. Quite a story back in the States. It seems his company was going through a terrible financial crisis.
As I recall, the financial crisis was purely temporary matter, and soon rectified with great success.
Oh, sure. There's a guy called Travers running the setup now, and they're going from strength to strength. Nobody believes the rumor that old Harley committed suicide.
Suicide? Oh, what an absurd idea. Well, why would an American businessman come all the way to Egypt to commit suicide?
Here, it is absurd, sure enough. And even if he did do that for some reason, he wouldn't choose your cliff here of all places. I mean, how high is it? 12 feet or 15 feet at the most. Anybody who threw themselves over this cliff would have trouble doing more than to break a leg or fracture an ankle. It just doesn't make sense to call this place El Mawet, does it?
Come, Miss Hemingway. I would like to show you the view from my penthouse. The Khamsin. The wind I told you of is about to blow. You should witness it. It is something Remarkable.
How would you like to feel years younger? If you're middle-aged and troubled by forgetfulness, restless sleep, lack of vigor, and odd aches and pains, try Seleuca 45. Seleuca 45's remarkable formula actually helps you feel and look years younger. Seleuca 45 helps give you new physical and mental energy. It can even help combat the symptoms of aging too quickly. Enjoy life. Feel years younger. Try Seleuca 45.
Yeah.
I've lost my gold watch.
That all?
Well, no. We've been burgled. Everything's gone.
Really?
And the burglars stole our car.
Anything else?
Yes. The dog bit the postman and he's suing us.
Fine. I'll call Standard Bank.
Thanks, Bank.
Well, the Standard Bank handles all our insurance, darling. We get instant cover and pay premiums monthly. Whatever happens, we're covered. What's that noise?
Miss Hemingway did not accept my invitation to view the majesty and terror of the Hum scene from my penthouse. Perhaps this was a pity. It is my practice, when necessary, to leave open a door facing the service door. When the glorious Hum scene blows, this does not cause a disturbance in the penthouse, for the wind travels past one open door. Yet, if the service door is also open, the wind makes its irresistible way through the penthouse, and should anyone be standing by the open service door, he will be infallibly snatched away by my servant, the mighty wind, and dashed to destruction upon the part of the beach below that is called El Mout, the place of death. When the bodies of so many other American executives were found, there was some mystery about how they got to Egypt. But then, why should they not? It is a wonderful land for a holiday, away from the madding crowds. But there was no mystery about how they died. A fall down a cliff of 12 or 15 feet can cause the death of a man. And there seemed less and less reason to doubt it, as more and more died there, and I grew richer and richer. It was not long before I welcomed another client.
The fact is, Abbasbay, that unless you can help us, our whole conglomerate is going to be in trouble.
Mr. Penn, there are times when I can help.
Yes, I know. I got your name.
No unnecessary disclosures, please. All discretion.
Well, then, I heard about you from a guy in the road-making business. It seems his firm had nearly $1 billion laid out in equipment and projects.
And the stock market began to slide a little due to the ending of the Vietnam War. Now, I recall the event. I trust the road-building people are back on their feet again.
Well, they are, sir, thanks to you.
Now, why do you say it is thanks to me?
Well, when I spotted this trouble threatening my own company, I had a word with the chairman of the road builders. He was pretty cagey. He wouldn't come straight out with it. But he did say you were the man to see.
And Mr. Penn, when you say your own company, I trust you do not mean that you are the chairman. If you are, I cannot help you.
My friend told me that. That's why I came to see you myself instead of bunting the idea upstairs to our chairman, Mr. Maggio. But I must say, I can't figure why that's important.
You can't?
It's got me beat.
Good. It is the whole key to my operation here.
Well, that's the position with my company. I'm president.
I take it you have come to consult me because you foresee some financial difficulties in the near future.
That's dead right, sir. Nothing dangerous, you understand, but I...
But while the company is essentially very sound, it is desirable to lay hands on a few million dollars without the business world hearing that you are short of such a sum. Is that the case?
Well, it's a bit more complicated than that.
But simply, Mr. Penn, is that the case?
Okay, in simple terms, yes.
And not at all unusual. It is many years now since I first read in one of your American business magazines of a company in such a difficult position. I visited the president of the company and made my proposals to him. He accepted. The company was saved. He became chairman. Mr. Penn, do you wish to be chairman of your company?
Well, of course, eventually. It's only natural any executive wants to get to the top.
Would you let scruples frustrate that ambition?
Scruples, Appleby?
If you had to kill somebody.
Now, hold on there. I never killed anybody.
Presuming you were in the armed forces at some point.
Well, sure, I did my duty for my country. I was in the artillery for a couple of years, but that has nothing to do
with... It has everything to do with the present discussion, Mr. Penn. As an artilleryman, you did not see those you killed. You will not see your chairman die. As a soldier, you believed death was a fair price to pay for
survival. I'm not going along with this. I have no idea.
As you wish, Mr. Penn.
The whole thing's unthinkable. I can't understand how my pal in the road building company...
Yes, he. The man with the private jet aircraft and the beautiful estate in Maryland. The success. The chairman. The respected leader of India.
I can hardly believe he'd go along with that kind of thing that you...
Grow up, Mr. Penn. Seize the opportunity. You, like him, and like so many others who have sat in this apartment on that chair, you are hearing of the way. The only way to make a triumph of your life or to turn from that triumph.
I guess I can make my way without that sort of...
No, sir, you can't. One of your junior executives, yes, they are younger. They will not be identified with the destruction of the company. They can start again and make their way back towards the top. But you are the president of the stricken company.
I got there with my hands clean.
And when it fails, you will be there with your hands empty. So far as any prospective employer is concerned, you as president are to blame for the destruction of the company you lead, Mr.
But
Penn.
I'm not the boss, the chairman.
Quite so. Then it is only right and just that the chairman should be the one to pay to keep his company afloat.
For my money, he's right off his head.
Oh, Dave, how many of the real VIPs in America have got there with clean hands? In politics or in industry?
Hey, there, Miss Hemingway. That's no way for a loyal CIA girl to speak. Well, anyway, not in front of her boss.
Oh, Dave, he frightens me, that Abbott Dave. He just seems to have no idea he's doing something wrong or evil.
Well, from what you got out of him, Alice, I'd say his head was turned when the Alexandra tourist industry folded. Before the Arab-Israel troubles, those hotels of his must have been like so many gold mines.
Yeah, I guess so.
I should think he'd got this murderous scheme of his into his mind when somebody was blown out of that penthouse service door accidentally.
Right. The fall from there onto that horrible part of the beach must be well over 100 feet, sure to kill anybody. And it wouldn't take long for a legend to grow up that that little cliff was fatal. Al Mawad, the place of death. And to think he invited me up to his penthouse at Kamsin time. Oh!
Alice, I was thinking of sending you back to the States before you got into any trouble.
Oh, I think so too. Thanks.
Now, hey, slow down. I said I was thinking about that.
Oh, but now you've got another idea.
Right. You've got to kill Abbas Bey, Miss Hemingway. That's an order. I would do it myself, but I believe he trusts you. I believe he thinks he's got nothing to fear from a woman. These people hold women in contempt. There's no cause for delay. Tonight will be the ideal night. Ideal because tonight the hamstring will blow once more.
It is a pleasure and honor to welcome you here again, Miss Hemingway. I trust you have reached a positive conclusion regarding our tourist ideas.
Well, there are outstanding considerations, Abbott, but I'm pretty sure something can be worked out to our mutual advantage.
Oh, that is most gratifying, most encouraging. And so is your wish to look upon the hum scene from my penthouse. There is no better place from which to view its power and majesty, its beauty.
You say it's beauty, Abbott.
You are thinking perhaps that a thing of terror cannot be beautiful?
Well, it is a little frightening, you must admit.
There is some pleasure in pain. There is a grandeur in that which is mighty. And even death is but the threshold to life. These are true sayings of the wise ones.
Look at the way that sea is thrashing about. You can hardly see it for the sandstorm,
but yes, the tempestuous affection of the elements. If the sand is reducing your view of the sea, why not open that door over there and get a clearer view, my dear?
The door? Wouldn't the canteen come storming into this room and make it untidy?
Oh, not when it blows at this angle. You see, Miss Hemingway, I have for many years studied my friend, my servant, my master.
Well, what do you mean?
Oh, the calm scene. It is more to me than the annoyance that others find it. Those others who do not understand it do not love it as I do. If you would know the Hamsin properly, if you would understand it, then yield to its embrace. Give it your trust, your respect, your affection. Come.
No, do not fight against the calling of the mighty passionate one.
Oh, let me go. Get away from me. Mr. Drew. Help me.
You call in vain upon any human assistance.
Help! Get away! Let me go!
Ride upon the wings of the mighty hurricane!
The triumph she came as baie vinnig and baie weelderig and also that baie stil gehou. Maar die motorpers het nie. Die tydskrif K sê van die Triumph Chicane.
Ons toetspan dink die Chicane is 'n plesier om te bestuur en sê die verhouding tussen werkverrigting en maklike bestuur is magnifiek.
Die motor sê,
die Triumph Chicane bied 'n standaard van motorry wat ver bo sy prysklas is.
Triumph Chicane, deur Leyland gebou. Luister na wat die kinders daarvan dink.
Announcing the complete detergent. New Darto. It's all your whole family's wash needs for dazzling whiteness.
And brilliant brightness.
And stain removal.
And easy rinsing.
And all temperature action. New Darto. What more could a mother want for her family's wash?
Now you've got what you want for your whole family's wash. New Darto is a mom's best friend.
New Darto, the complete detergent.
It was very foolish of Miss Hemingway to think that I conducted my mission without human assistance. Of course I needed someone in her barbaric country to make contact with the presidents of companies in difficulties. My assistant was Mr. Doe, who I ordered back to Egypt when the foolish girl thought to cause me trouble. As she had never seen her superior officer in the CIA, which is quite usual in that secret organization, she easily believed Mr. Drew was her boss when he showed her that he knew why she was in Egypt. Her interference was only minor and short-lived. Yet, in a way, I envy her. For much as I honor the glorious Khamsin, she came to know its glory far better than I do myself.
But you left one thing out of your conspiracy with that supernatural force, the Khamsin. You never told me that you would kill the girl I had come to admire for her courage and beauty. Now that I realize the truth about her, about you, about myself, there's nothing more for me to do but to surrender to the authorities and make sure that you are hanged. And may that wind that came from hell to do your bidding take you when it returns there.
When holiday driving gets hot and sticky, watch for the most heartwarming sight on South Africa's highways, a mobile restaurant oasis. Freshen up in a well-equipped restroom and enjoy a delicious snack or meal in a sparkling clean restaurant while mobile attendants top up your tank and clean your windows. Mobile restaurant road stops, now on most major South African routes.
Thank you.
My Adventure is produced by Anne Freed and directed by Henry Diffenthal.
Federal agent. Backbone of today's crusade against crime. Scotland Yard, French Sûreté, Canadian Northwest Mounted. These men are joined in a modern crusade against crime. It is a bleak April morning. Authorities in Washington, D.C. have just been notified that a farmer near Annapolis, Maryland, has seen an unidentified airplane fall in the Severn River only a few miles from the Naval Academy.
Radio Tower, Annapolis. Watson speaking. Yes? Yes. Yes, General McCall. I've been trying to contact that plane for 20 minutes. All right, sir. I'll try again.
Chesapeake Patrol, Donovan speaking. What's that? No, Annapolis. All of our planes are grounded. No private planes have left Baltimore vicinity in the last 48 hours.
War Department Intelligence. Yes. Yes, General. I'll dispatch pursuit squadron from Langley Field at once.
Three days later, despite cooperation of Army, Navy, and state authorities, the mysterious plane has not been found. Then suddenly, in an isolated cove in the Severn River, the wrecked plane is discovered.
Oh, good morning, Evans. Good morning. Come in. Come in. Have a chair, my boy.
Thank you, sir.
Evans, you've been assigned to the most mysterious case of the year.
The plane in the Severn River?
That's right. Now, Evans, all we know is that it was an observation plane, equipped with aerial cameras to make maps of this country's naval defenses. Undoubtedly, the occupants abandoned the plane, bailed out with their photographs, and were picked up by a waiting boat and taken to their hideaway.
I understand.
Now, your job, Evans, is to find out who they were and who owned the plane. Today, you leave for Canada, where you will outfit yourself with everything Canadian, and then return immediately to Cambridge, Maryland, and take up residence as a visiting gentleman farmer.
You can count on me, sir, to do my best.
June of the same year, Evans of the Federal Bureau of Investigation is now Harold Creighton, a Canadian rancher, who has taken a summer house in Cambridge, Maryland, near Annapolis. Living with him is Genevieve Franklin, also a federal employee who poses as Marie Creighton, his sister. On Saturday night, Harold Creighton always holds open house for the summer college.
Well, Marie, are all our guests having a good time?
It seems so, Harold, but I hope Ashton doesn't disappoint us again. After all, he's such an interesting man.
Yes, but I still think we ought to keep our eyes on Gregory. You know, that quiet, round-shouldered chap. There he is over there.
Are you enjoying yourself, Mr. Gregory?
Oh, yes, indeed, yes. You know, it's always a pleasure to be at your house parties, Miss Creighton. And I'm so sorry to think that I'll have to spend the next 3 weeks in New York and miss these lovely times.
Oh, are you flying up?
I should say not. Flying is the last thing I do.
Oh, come now, Mr. Gregory. Don't tell me that in this modern day and age, you've never been up in a plane.
Well, that's right. I'll stick to trains.
Won't you change your mind and fly up with Harold tomorrow?
Well...
He was going to fly his own plane alone, but I'm sure he'd love to have you along.
Well, now, you know, that might not be so bad if you're sure Harold's a competent flyer. Yes. Yes, I might be inclined to take a chance on it.
Well, Harold, I think I've got you a customer for your trip tomorrow.
Who, Ashton?
No, Gregory. He'll meet you at the airport at 7 o'clock.
Here, Gregory, better put on these goggles. It's windy.
All right, but I still don't know if I should fly with you, Creighton. It just don't seem right.
Well, come on, fella. It'll all be over in 2 hours.
Close to their destination at the Newark Airport, Gregory is smiling happily at the anticipation of a safe land when all of a sudden...
Creighton! Creighton! Creighton, what's the matter with you?
It's my heart. I'm a goner, Gregory.
What?
A goner. You take the stick.
Me? I can't. I can't, Gregory. See, we're going to crash.
But the plane does not crash. Creighton, feigning an ailing heart, quickly recovers and lands Gregory and himself unharmed. G-men notified by Genevieve Franklin are awaiting the plane. To make sure that Gregory is kept in the dark about Creighton's scheme, they arrest the two flyers on a technical charge.
I'm awfully sorry, Gregory, getting you into this mess. I really didn't know about needing a commercial pilot's license to fly a passenger.
Well, thank goodness we're at least safe. When will they let us out of here?
Yeah, the chief says it'll be at least a few days before we can get our release.
Well, I'm going to call my attorney. That's what I'll do.
Yeah, we're in on a federal charge. Looks like we'll have to stay and like it.
Well, maybe I'll stay, but I won't like it.
On the pretense of appearing before a tribunal, Creighton is separated from Gregory. He flies back to Cambridge, going right to his house.
Look, Marie, I tried that heart attack on Gregory, and he almost let the plane crash. Sorry, but he doesn't know a thing about flying.
Oh, then he's innocent, is that right?
That's 100% right.
Where is he now?
He's being held on a technical charge, just in case he gets wise and starts talking around here. That would spoil all our work.
But they can't hold him forever.
Well, that's just it. We have to work, and work fast.
What's your plan?
Just this. Listen, I'll tell Ashton to meet me tomorrow.
Well, this is a surprise visit. Come in, Marie.
Thank you, Mr. Ashton.
Now, none of that Mr. stuff. Remember what we said last night?
All right, Teddy.
That's better. Now, what's on your mind?
Well, who said anything's on my mind?
Well, a girl who plays tennis every afternoon doesn't go visiting on the loveliest day of the summer unless something's troubling her. Come on, what is it?
Well, I'm ashamed to say it, but Harold's flying to New York on business, of course, and I've never been there.
Yes?
Well, it sounds silly, doesn't it? But I want to go along.
And just where do I come in?
Ah, that's right where you come in. Harold said he'd let me go if I had someone to show me around. And there's no one I'd rather have as an escort than you.
With such a beautiful compliment, Marie, and such a beautiful girl, no one could be so ungallant as to turn her down.
Oh, then you'll come with us?
I'd be delighted.
Harold,
Well, Mr. Ashton, how do you like flying?
I rather enjoy it. It's not a new experience to me, you know.
Oh, then you fly a plane, Teddy.
Not exactly. Just fly in a plane.
Oh, you must be like me. Say, I don't know the difference between a cockpit and a fuselage.
I'm not much on these mechanisms either.
Help! Help! What's wrong with you?
Oh, it's my heart again. I'm afraid it...
What's wrong, Marie? We're spinning down to the ground. Here, let go of that stick. Here, I'll take it. Quick, get away from there. Oh, there now.
Oh, Teddy, you saved my life. How can I ever thank you?
By not telling a soul about what happened.
Oh, that's impossible. When we land at the Newark airport, they'll see.
We're not going to land at the Newark airport. We're flying across the Canadian border.
But, Teddy...
Oh, Teddy, Marie... You're the only person in the United States who knows that I can fly a plane.
Well, what's so terrible about that?
It might be good evidence if the government ever brought me up for a spy trial.
You, a spy? Oh, how could you?
I could do a lot of things. Now, you listen to me. We're going to fly to your ranch at Manitoba. That ought to make a swell hideout.
Well, what about Harold?
Dead men tell no tales, but I'm taking no chances. I'll drop his body in one of the lakes.
Ted, you wouldn't.
Oh, yes, I would. I have too much valuable information on my person, and I'm taking no chances.
No, I guess you won't take any chances. The first thing you can do is take your hands off that stick.
Why? Put that gun away, you fool.
Not such a fool.
All right, have it your way. But who'll fly the plane?
I will.
Joe, I thought you were dead.
Sorry to be such a disappointment, Ashton, but dead men tell no tales. And I have an awful lot to tell the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Federal agent. Federal agent, backbone of today's modern crusade against crime. Scotland Yard, French Sûreté, American Bureau of Investigation, Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Federal agents from all countries join hands to blast criminal activity from the face of the earth. Midnight in foggy London, and society is slumming in Limehouse, when suddenly one of its foremost members, young Tommy Fawcett, is shot down in cold blood. Before any policemen come to the scene, the assassin disappears, but Scotland Yard draws its net over dismal London. And all through the night, the police scrupulously comb every suspicious hideout for the criminal.
Say, you old bloke there under the lamppost. What's your business?
Just passing away the time.
There's no lights in around here. Now get moving.
Well, where are you heading for, young fellow?
East End, sir.
Well, let's see your license. Oh, all right. Proceed.
Yes?
Seen any rough-looking characters around here, lady?
How can a person tell what another person looks like in all this fog?
Then, early the next morning...
Who is it, please?
Scotland Yard.
Oh, won't you come in?
Thank you.
You'll find Judge Fawcett in the study. Please, Inspector, he's mighty broken up.
I understand.
Come right this way, sir.
But don't you suspect any one particular person, Judge Fawcett?
Oh, how can I, Inspector? During this last month alone, I have sent 15 men to Dartmoor Prison, and everyone vowed to avenge himself on my family.
That place where it happened?
It might have been any place in Limehouse. Tommy and his gay friends frequented many clubs of that sort. Undoubtedly, he was followed there.
I see. Then our only hope is to weed out all of Limehouse.
Oh, but isn't that an endless task?
It might be, except for this one thread of evidence. Look.
A revolver? You mean...
No, Judge. I'm not sure that this is the murderer's revolver. We found it near the bar after the shooting, however. It might have been dropped there by any one of many people. And another thing... This is a very weak link.
Why, Inspector?
Because there were no bullets in the carriage when we picked it up, and only one shot had been fired.
Yes, only one shot.
Sit down, Harmon.
Thank you, Inspector.
Now, as your first assignment from Scotland Yard, you're to find the murderer of Tommy Fawcett.
Poor kid. Shot down in cold blood.
That's what makes this criminal so dangerous. He'd do it again.
I understand.
Now, one thing is sure. He hasn't been able to leave England. In fact, he's still in London.
Then the chances are that he's hiding out someplace in Limehouse.
That's the way we feel about it. However, we're not sending you out cold.
Oh, you have some kind of clue?
Yes. Here's a copy of the fingerprint taken from a revolver found at the scene of the crime. You see, in the first place, we're not sure it's the murderer's weapon.
I see.
So you have two jobs. One, to match this fingerprint.
And the other?
To draw out a confession if he is guilty.
All right, Inspector. I'm on my way.
Good luck, Harmon. But remember, it may take you a day, or a week, or a month.
Not 1 month, but 6 months later, Harmon is working in Limehouse as a piano player in Mully's where Tommy Fawcett had been murdered.
Beautiful music, Blondie. Do you know the old roast beef of England?
That reminds me, gorgeous. I have to wait on that table in the corner. I'll be back in a minute. What'll it be, mister?
Well, might get a whiskey and soda and don't stop to play no tune on the way.
Oh, so you don't like my music, eh?
Sure, I likes music, but I like whiskey better.
Right, here, boss. Coming right up. So, you like my music now, Doran?
Oh, sure, Blondie. After three whiskeys, anybody in Limehouse would like your music.
Well, as long as the whiskey holds out, I'm sure of my job.
For a guy who works for a living, you're pretty regular. How about Annie Laurie?
Right out. But it'll cost you another drink.
Aye, wise up. Bring over a couple of whiskies.
Well, Inspector, it took more than half a year, but I've matched the fingerprints.
And who is it, Harmon?
His name is Dud Doran, a pickpocket.
Know anything about him?
Yes, his brother was sent up to Dartmoor 8 months ago for life.
By Judge Fawcett?
By Judge Fawcett.
The versatile Harmon now has his first job completed. By taking the fingerprints on each glass as it was used in the cafe by his customers, he finally came to Durant. After reporting to his inspector, Harmon returns to Limehouse and to Durant.
Come on, Blondie. How's about sitting down here with me?
It's all right, Orion. You know what the boss says. No mixing with the customer.
All right, old fellow. Then I'll go up the Piana with you, huh? Come on, let's go. Want another whiskey, Blondie?
Make this one on me. Hey, Krusty, a couple of steak.
Don't you ever get tired flying that thing?
Sure, I'll get tired, but I like it.
You're a funny guy. What do you like about it?
Makes me remember things.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Here are your drinks. 2 shillings, please.
Take it out in my pie, Krusty.
Well, here's to you, Blondie. And to your memories.
Drink her down, then. And here's to memorize.
Hey. What's that there song you're playing?
Oh, it's just an old one. Name of it's A Long Way Back Home. You know, it reminds me of things.
Yeah? What kind of things?
Oh, just things. Old memories. You know.
You know, I don't know. What's it remind you of?
Oh, all right. Don't get excited. I'll tell you. It reminds me of me old man. It's a long way...
Back home?
No, to Dartmoor.
Dartmoor? What's that got to do with you?
Plenty.
Oh, wait a minute. Aye, why, sir? Couple more whiskey. Double whiskey. Now, look here. What's this here about Dartmoor?
Well, it's... My old man rooms there.
What's he up for?
Smuggling.
It's funny. So's my brother. Hmm.
Well, sometimes I wish I was there, I do. At least you get fed regular.
Oh, don't you believe it? It's rotten. When's your old man getting out?
He ain't. He's a lifer, he is.
Here you are. 2 doubles, like you said. And that makes 4 shillings. And listen, it's not out of your pay, Blondie. And the reason is you ain't got no more pay coming.
Shut up. You ease your money.
Oh, thanks, fella. Well, come on now. Let's drink to the relatives.
Right, y'all. To your old man and my kid brother. Mm.
You know, if me old man would like a bit of this, he would.
Yeah, sure. It's a rotten place. They get stale bread, that's all.
I wish I could get the old man out, I
there ain't a chance. Too many guards.
Well, I'll make it up to him.
Yeah, that's what I did. I got even.
Yeah. Well, I'll get old Judge Fawcett.
I'll beat you on that one.
You're crazy. The judge is still sending him up there.
Yeah, but I fixed his son up. I mowed him down right here in front of this here cafe.
Oh, now, half a mile. You're kidding.
I ain't kidding. That's what made me think of it. Some guy was playing it right on the piano right here.
Flying? Flying what?
He was flying his long wire back home.
Michael Doran, you have heard the verdict of the jury, and so for the murder of Thomas Fawcett, I hereby sentence you to hang by the neck until you are dead, dead, dead.
Listen for our next presentation of thrilling stories related to this modern crusade as each nation calls upon its chief bulwark against crime. Federal agent.
A
that's the Relic Radio Show for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from High Adventure, Federal Agent, Relic Radio Show, and everything else Relic Radio at the website, relicradio.com. Our Shoutcast stream is there, and thousands of other old-time radio shows. If you'd like to help support this and all of the shows, give that donate button a click. Your support is how all of this is made possible. Can't do it without you. Thanks to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. I'll be back next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.